Chapters 3 and 4 in Joshua record a very glorious, happy time, joyful time for God's people. They finally made it to the promised land. And God brought them through all their time of rebellion, 40 years worth, and brought them up to that border, the Jordan River. And you got to get across the river if they're going to get into the promised land. I don't know. I know there's some people connected with the church here who have been baptized in the Jordan River. It's an important river in terms of the Bible. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. I think it's a barrier between, somewhat of a barrier, Israel and the friendly country, Jordan. Israel and Jordan, and also Israel and Syria. And John the Baptist also did all his baptizing in the Jordan River. You want to avoid worshiping the river as holy water and such. There, you can get a jar from the Jordan River for about $59.95. You want to not, but don't get that. Okay. But they're up to the Jordan River. Not a very wide river like the Ohio River or Allegheny, but more of a narrow river that can get pretty turbulent at the flood stage, which it was when the people were trying to cross. If you go to the Youghiogheny River, in some spots, are really, when it's really springtime, it's like, oh, this is, don't go in there. Even they cancel all the raft trips, you know, in certain high levels. Can't do it. Too dangerous. Jordan River certainly could kill you if you went in there at the wrong time. You can see pictures online of the Jordan River at flood stage. So it's somewhat of a physical barrier, but also symbolic barrier between the end of a long, difficult road. There it was. And the beginning of seeing God in a closer manner and knowing His goodness. Okay, end of a long, difficult road. Now you see God really come through for you. I'm graduating from high school or college, you might say, crossing the Jordan River. Goodbye. No more pencils and books and so on. But the job, hopefully, that is waiting, or something next. Got a new job. Going to take on new responsibilities. It's the end of my life. Got to cross the Jordan River to be transferred to a higher service. This life's very, very important. Okay, God is throughout the world doing things. He's ready to, very shortly, within, for most of us, I would say, in the next 70 years, we'll be across that Jordan River from earth to, by the grace of God, with Christ, by Christ alone, helping us cross that Jordan River. And a lot of old Christian songs write about the Jordan. We sang one of them, when I reach the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. So you and I are going to be nervous when our last days are here. We'll probably just be a little bit. Ed Hammett, who died last week, said, you know, man of great faith, he said, boy, this dying, you know, it's really strange. I haven't done this before. Everything's new. Everything's different. Not too many good things about it until you get across the river. And Jesus already crossed the river for you, so he'll meet us. And when I reach the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death, that's a good thing. Death of death. And hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Who's going to get us there? Well, God has to land us through Christ. Hell's destruction, not condemned, loved by God through the whole process. And songs of praises, I will ever sing to you. And then the old folk song, Michael, row the boat ashore. Jordan is deep and wide, not so wide, but fits in the song. Milk and honey on the other side. Okay. Jordan River, chilly and cold, chills the body but not the soul. When life gets almost to death, you feel cold physically. I don't know, people who are near death, if you're not on drugs, you probably feel cold. Hands, you know, your hands get cold on certain days, your feet get cold. It's like, ooh, your whole body's like that. It means God might be getting you ready. Okay, for the crossing the Jordan. Body will be cold. Soul will not be cold. Soul will be safe with God. chills the body but not the soul. So there's the Jordan River. These folks are going over literally, and we can kind of have a Jordan River experience. When we become a Christian, I decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Old selfish life dead, new life with Christ, now with us. Okay, and what does God tell the people to do to get ready to cross the Jordan River? A couple words. They were to be waiting, they were to be washed, they were to be worshiping. Things that we could do. Verses 1 and 2, the people camped for 3 days before crossing the Jordan River. 3 days is not long when you've waited 40 years. We can camp for 3 days. Can you imagine the tension? There's the river. It's loud. It's intimidating. It's time to just wait. You know, waiting. God can help us when we're waiting. And He tells us things when we're waiting He won't tell us any other times. Okay, you think of times of waiting. Been in waiting rooms waiting for loved ones in surgery. That those are good prayer times. Okay, Lord, help. Lord, guide the surgeons. Lord, sustain them. Give them good recovery. Good time to wait. Loved one is traveling. Well, are they there yet? You know, look out the window a number of times. Are they there? Did they call yet? No, we're waiting. We're full of anticipation, waiting for the Lord's return. Oh, that'll get you on your toes spiritually. Today, Jesus comes back. Oh, all of a sudden I'm a little more interested in Him, you know. I'm ready to follow. And so God can help us when we wait. And while we're waiting, there's always time for prayer and always time to love. Next time you're waiting, you think, well, this is a time to talk to God. This is a time to love somebody. Anytime is a good time for that. So God says, you know, when the world's getting shaken up, be still, know that He is God. God's not in a hurry. He's preparing you. Jesus said, my Father's always working. I'm working too. So be waiting. Preacher Robert Morgan said, when you wait, you're giving God time to work. He'll get the ball rolling. He's never been late. And He's seldom early. Something said about the Lord. One person said, I want to see God do things all the time. And his Christian brother said, well, He is. He's working on you as you wait. And He'll carry out His work to completion in our soul. So we could be waiting. Waiting is a holy thing. And God says, be washed. Be washed. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you. There's something about a bath in the humidity or shower that's really like, I needed this. Saw a picture on an Alliance website. There are places in the world that still, they have public places to take a shower. They got one bucket, that's all you get. You go in there and you pour it over your head. That was a great shower. Lasted about a second, but that's all you get. And to be washed, consecrate yourselves, means to be washed by God. Like Jesus washed the disciples' feet, remember? And Peter said, don't just wash my feet, wash everything. Head, body, there's a lot about me that's dirty. I need washed. Jesus is our sanctifier. Like, just like we prayed, Lord, I trust You for heaven, we could pray, Lord, I trust You to get washed. Because my mind has dirt in it. My actions, they're dirty. Lord knows my words are dirty. Half my friends know that. I get out in the world, there's dirt all over the place. Well, be washed, for the Lord will do great things among you. Certainly a promise for today. And He can make a washing a good thing. It really stands for living in God's beautiful holiness. Holiness is a beautiful thing. I don't know what happened. I got the wrong message somewhere along the line. I usually associated holiness with a frown, angry people, People were basically telling everybody else how messed up they are, and people who aren't having much joy and gladness in their life. Holiness movement. That's not what the Bible means with holiness. It's a quality of God that kind of takes your breath away. And you say, that must be God, because there's nothing else like that. Okay, the holiness that God can give us. Cleanness. I don't know if I shared this story. When I had this hospital stay last year, so night after the surgery, you're kind of all, you know, drugged up and everything. And so there was a problem with the bed at 3 a.m. Let's put it that way, so you don't get too much information. In other words, it was all dirty. Okay. And nothing I could do about it. I'm all hooked up. He said, don't even get out of bed. Okay. And so you click the nurse's thing, and the only thing I could say is, you know, need help. And within 30 seconds, four nurses right there washing all the bed, washing me. And I was spick and span, and the bed was clean. It was washed. Oh, this is good, you know. Now I can go back to sleep. And when you ask God to wash you, He really washes you. I used to think my mind was a garbage can, you know. And my mouth was a garbage dump. My actions, they were terrible. And so, but the Lord, He gives us Himself. And Jesus could do that. We have a family, and I keep them anonymous a little bit. When they go to Florida, they stay at a Christian camp. And often they'll come back pretty renewed in their faith. It's a rustic place, not the Holiday Inn, but there's a lot of worship, a lot of fellowship. And they say, it was like heaven there. Okay, there was a lot of clean experiences. And how it's a testimony to how good God is. And you know what? That could be your home. You could say, my home is like, it's like a holy place. And so is my life. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, to be a living sanctuary for you. Could be your home, could be the church. Hey, Jesus came and washed the whole church. Can you believe it? Everybody was really dirty. You should have saw it. But they were all clean. He did it. We have some good custodians and trustees. They don't get in their way if they have a sweeper. Okay, they're coming to run you over. Thank the Lord for that. Jesus cleans thoroughly like that. His goodness. One Alliance professor said, being washed is not an attainment, something we do, but an obtainment, something we receive. God does that for us. And so if you could cry out and hear Joshua say to you, hey, be washed, consecrate yourselves, you'll see God do marvelous things. And then they were to be worshiping throughout the whole time, going into that promised land. Even going over the river, they were told, keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant. That was the representation of God's powerful presence. Okay, I'm watching that. He said, stay 1,000 yards away, because God's a lot different from you. Don't be so close to God you think, you know, you and Him are just almost the same. No. But know His goodness and honor Him. And you think of the Lord, we could honor Him and worship Him, our souls. We get courage for obedience. We grow in our trust. I'll just share this. When I'm emotionally down or facing some kind of, you know, big pain, if I worship God a little while, just stop and remember, He's good. Maybe sing a song, read a psalm. I feel like, okay, well, I could follow God in this here. You know, it's no problem for Him. Would you worship God like that? Would you worship God like that once a week with His people? 90% of you are good, really good at that. Worship God. Keep your eye on the Christ. Okay, the presence of God. Keep leaning on the Spirit, the presence of God in your soul. Think of His goodness
It's easy to worship God, I think, through Jesus, because we start to know every good experience we've had has come from Him. Every time we've been loved or loved, that's Him. He did that for us. Every heartbeat we have, every breath we have, God provides chance to serve. Times of laughter, times of grief. I cried. Yesterday I cried all day, someone says, because God is healing them with the tears.
You're saying God keeps them all in the bottle. So we thank God for what He did, and also we thank God for who He is. King of kings. That's a good thing. Light of the world. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's holy, holy, holy. And nobody else's greatness fills the whole earth other than God's. That's what Isaiah discovered when he heard the angels singing. Oh, His glory fills the whole earth. Nobody else's glory fills the whole earth. We can get excited about some nation that's, you know, looks strong, or they're, look at that sin, and those things which are terrible, and God has to intervene through people. But the goodness of God seen through the whole earth. No one like Him. Nothing like Him. And so His people are glad to worship. And the whole point of it, they cross the Jordan. They make the 12 stones saying, we'll never forget how great God is. And at the end of chapter 4, God says this. He says, the word says, God did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful. And so all the people would always fear the Lord your God. Okay, so God's people would fear Him. So when God helps us cross over troubled time, death to life. Everybody, the world will know God's hand was powerful in their life. Look, He brought them through that. God's hand was powerful. And so that God's people themselves might always fear the Lord our God. Say, oh, we honor Him far more than any other blessing in life. Because He's that way. Don't want to miss Him at all. So, we thank God for His faithfulness to Joshua and the Israelites, His faithfulness to you and I as His children. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. When we ask You to save us, You saved us. So we ask You to wash us. In our thinking, in our actions, ask You to help us worship You. So all these things would occur in our lives because of Your moving that would honor Your name, and Your name would be feared among Your people. Teach us to do that in our soul, not in a artificial way, religious way, but in a way that only You would bring about. Just work in every dear heart here, as any who would know Christ would be that they're a holy sanctuary. Anybody not knowing Christ, they could say, Lord, save me. And You'll be faithful. Just be with us as we sing Your praises in Your name. Amen.